Hello, this is Paul Jones from the Blues Band, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Sheila Ferguson, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Midju, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Martha Reeves, and you're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hi, this is Ian McLagan of the Small Faces, the Faces, the Bump Bands, and a number of other bands. But you're listening to Suzanne's World of Arts and Entertainment, you lucky people. Brooklyn's
Radio. As if by magic, Ray Brooks found himself on Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Hello and welcome to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment. And yes, you just heard the unmistakable voice of Ray Brooks, who is just so incredibly versatile. Instantly recognisable, of course, as the narrator of the iconic and hugely popular and much-loved animated series, Mr. Ben. But he really is an actor who's been in literally hundreds of TV shows and film, as well as theatre. He's written several books, of which his latest is called Lies. He's on tour with a one-man show, so settle back and enjoy an interview with a truly versatile man. Now, it's such a joy to be speaking to the extremely talented Ray Brooks. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Suzanne.
Now, few actors have exhibited such a wide spectrum of skills. Not only have you starred in numerous iconic TV shows and films, but you're a renowned narrator and author, and we'll talk about your new book in just a moment. But first, being so versatile, it's little wonder you're going to be embarking on a one-man show. And I'm guessing with the title being As If By Magic, The Genius of Mr. Ben, you're proud of being the fabulous voice behind everyone's childhood favourites.
Well, I am, but I mean, like everything else I've done in my life, it started off as a job. And then suddenly it sort of gained momentum over the years and has become this thing now, which is actually, he's always sitting on my shoulder, you know.
Yes.
Everywhere I go, he is. People say to me all the time, oh, you're Mr. Ben. I go, oh, yeah, all right, yeah, okay. And things like that. It's just extraordinary.
Yes.
I don't get dressed like him. It's just the fact it happens, you know.
Yes, it's like a previous guest on the show, John Challis, who played Boise in Only Fools and Horses. He said it's kind of like wonderful, but a bit of a monster that you kind of create, you know. It follows you around. But, yeah, I mean, it's still wonderful. The popularity is undeniable. It's amazing to think that the 205 DVD, which includes all 14 episodes, sold more than 100,000 copies.
150,000 DVDs, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? 100,000 copies,
well, I mean,
wow.
I get people coming up to me in the street and I say, oh, thank goodness you did it. I say, why? What's the matter with these grandmas? Oh, we look after our grandchildren 2-3 times a week. They get fed up with these bang, crash, wallop cartoons, and I bought them the DVD, Mr. Ben, and they just are addicted to it.
Oh, that's great,
isn't it? Yeah, I know, it's extraordinary.
Yeah, for something that was taken, just as you say, to pay the rent at the time. I mean, did you ever foresee it gathering such a huge cult status? I mean, Liam Gallagher is a bit of a fan, I understand.
Yes. I mean, it. I never thought it would garner as much interest.
Mm.
It's one of those strange things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I, like so many, grew up adoring the animation. But then I was also quite addicted to your other smash hit TV shows in which you played Robbie Box in Big Deal.
Oh, yes.
You were fantastic in that. Do you enjoy playing characters who have drama in their lives?
Well, I like. I mean, I did enjoy that very much. I mean, there are certain shows I've done in my life which I look back on and say, oh, they were wonderful fun. And there were some which I've done which were total rubbish. But, you know, that's life, you know, that's how it works.
Yes.
You know, yes, well, Big Deal was wonderful, 3 years of that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
one of the nicest casts in the world I've ever worked with, and everybody enjoyed everybody else's company, and it was just a joy to go to work every day.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it? Because Sharon Juice was in that with you, wasn't she? And you did a spin-off from that series as well.
Well, I did a spin-off, but then we don't talk anymore, you know, that's one of those things.
Oh, never know, do you? Well, I mean, like so many actors wanting to appear in a soap, you can say that you've appeared in both Coronation Street and EastEnders. And I mean, you couldn't get more dramatic than playing Joe Mason, the man suspected of killing Pauline Fowler in EastEnders. You played that for 2 years. Was it tough mentally? And
it's very tough mentally because basically you're doing 4 shows a week, and it's hard work, early starts, late finishes, constantly learning lines, and constantly having to go into, you know, suddenly told you've done that. You know, I came back from holiday and they told me I killed her. I didn't even know I had. So things like that.
God.
And you think, oh my God, I said, isn't that Bill? You hit her. So, did I? Yeah. And you've got to be here for another 2-3 months or you're going to die. I said, oh, thank God for that, because I actually wanted to leave earlier because I didn't get on with her.
Oh, right.
It was really tough. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
dear.
Yeah. So that was that.
Yeah.
And it was tough, you know, it was tough, but, you know, yeah. It was all right.
Yeah, well, I mean, EastEnders is so popular, but you've appeared in so many iconic TV shows that ooze style, like Avengers, Randall and Hopkirk Deceased, as well as the groundbreaking drama Kathy Come Home. I mean, this heralded the greatest single television drama in Radio Times list in 1998, which is a real achievement. Tell us how you found those experiences, and what was director Ken Loach, you know, a renowned realist, like to work with?
Well, because I didn't even know him before I saw it. I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
I mean, Carol White and her husband, Mike King, I met Mike in Manchester when I was doing a television play up there. He was touring with his brothers, the King brothers, doing songs on variety shows. And he's a gregarious young man. He was gregarious, very gregarious in those days. And he said, oh, I'm married to an actress. I said, really, who? He said, Carol White. I'd never heard of her. And he said, oh, we've got two kids, Sean and Stevie. He said, oh, we must get together in London. So we exchanged phone numbers, and he rang up a few times, and so we went round there for dinner. They lived in a basement flat in Hammersmith, and they came to us, and we went round there again, got to know them quite well. And then suddenly Carol said to me, oh, Ken Loach, she said, had asked me to do a play called Kathy, but he wants my two kids in it, Sean and Stevie. She said, and it's a very violent play, and very violent, a lot of noise and banging and fires and shouting, and I'm a bit worried about the kids being upset. She said, would you play my husband? Because they know you so well.
Aww.
It would make them feel more comfortable to be around them.
Yeah.
So Ken said, oh, yeah, he phoned up. He said, well, yeah, would you do it, Ray? So I said, yeah, all right, okay, I'll do it. And that was it, another job. Yeah, it was just a job, you know.
Yeah, it's brilliant, because he does like that, doesn't he? He likes people who have, you know each other or have been in that sort of experience or something, or, you know, obviously know the children.
Yeah.
You also worked with Richard Lester, who directed The Beatles in their film A Hard Day's Night. And with him, you appeared in the swinging 60s film The Knack and How to Get It. It has a fabulous score by John Barry. And the film won a prestigious Palme d'Or. Tell us about your experience on that film, and what was it like winning at the Cannes Film Festival?
Oh, well, that was extraordinary. I mean, you think, you'll try and imagine this, if you can, that we were living in a £4-a-week flat in Kilburn, in London. And when the film had actually squeezed into a Cannes Film Festival, and I was invited with my wife to go, and we flew to Cannes, put in a suite of rooms in the Carlton Hotel with a balcony overlooking a private beach, and told that if we wanted anything, we just signed for it. I couldn't believe it. We were in this absolutely luxurious place surrounded by film stars. We were like Pinocchio, you know, at the end of that film. Noses growing longer and longer. Couldn't believe what was going on. And 3 days there of absolute, unbelievable luxury was incredible. You can imagine. Then, you know, we have to go back, and we're back in Gilbert again.
Oh, nice while it lasted, but it's, you know, it seemed like a wonderful experience. It's kind of very surreal in Cannes,
well,
isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, people who would have loved to have been in your shoes once again, when you were invited to appear in the Doctor Who film, Daleks, Invasion Earth, was it fun working with the Daleks? Are you a Doctor Who fan? And did the special effects ever make you laugh?
Well, I mean, that film was full of the Daleks, and Peter Cushing played the Doctor.
Oh.
I mean, I don't enjoy them now so much as I did when Tom Baker was doing them, because I always thought Tom was great fun.
Yeah.
And I know him anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I never did one of those, but it was just, they were just sort of shaky sets and dodgy old Daleks falling over and things like that, you know, so it's a bit more fun.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the film wasn't perfect, but it's all very kind of, you know, spaceships flying around with bits of wire hanging off them, that sort of stuff, but it works. You know,
yeah, absolutely. You forgive those things in those days, didn't you? You know, you sort of, before everyone became too CGI'd about it all, but, I mean, talking of, well, actually, because you've played so many characters whose lives are full of ups and downs and dramas, did that make you want to create the character Peter Bell in your latest novel, Lies?
Well, that was all about, that was because I'd settled into writing after I finished in EastEnders, because the first job I was offered up, that was going to last 2 years in Coronation Street. And I thought, oh, God, I can't do 5 shows a week. I don't want to be up there for 2 years, having done, you know, 4 shows a week for 2 years. So I said no, and I decided to get down to writing, which I've always enjoyed. And I started writing, and I wrote my autobiography, and then I wrote a novel, and then I wrote Lies. And Lies is all based on a character that I saw in Brighton, which is our hometown, in pubs and different places. And he seemed to be a very kind of quiet man, but a lot of people talking to him. I did meet him a couple of times. Anyway, in a few years, he died. And he was a lonely man, a strange man. I thought I'd write about him. You know, the whole raison d'etre of writing, a lot of writers say that they take something that happens in life and then they turn it upside down and twist it around and develop a plot around it, which is what I've done with him. You know, I've made it into a thriller. And I do hope one day, if anybody's got any sense in the television industry, if they get hold of a copy and they read it, they might see there's a developing potential and turning into a four-part thriller.
Yes.
You know, but well, then again, who knows? They never do anyway. They're all asleep or going down for lunch or whatever they do.
Well, if they've got any sense about it, we do need some good drama on TV. So I think it sounds like it would lend itself beautifully to that. Do you find the writing process quite easy, therapeutic in
it's
some
therapeutic.
Way?
Therapeutic. Yes, I know. It's like when my son, my elder son coming over from New Zealand and Skyping as we do, and he says, "Dad, have you got a dishwasher in yet?" And I say, I put my hands up. I said, "These are the dishwashers." He goes, "Oh, not now." I said, "Listen, it's therapeutic. I enjoy washing up. I enjoy it because of it. You know, it just gives you less resting time to think."
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've also written another book called Echoes, and not forgetting your penned autobiography, Learning My Lines, which received brilliant reviews. Do you believe another will soon be in the offing, another book? Another autobiography? Yes, I'm doing one now.
Oh, yes. I'm going to do an autobiography part two. Not straight away, because I'm doing a novella at the moment. But I'm going to do that because I want to sort of describe what it's like trying to be a writer, trying to sell books independently, going out on the road. And like in my latest blog, I've explained that I'm doing this tour of the Mr. Ben thing in Brighton, which I start on the 12th of April. And the number of tickets sold is about 40, with a tiny little theatre. And, you know, a lot of the people are saying, "Oh, we expected more," you know. And I've just written in my latest blog, I mean, the last four I did prior to this, I got 8, 6. So, I mean, I'm quite thrilled to get 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is, with self-published books, that's, you know, Mark Twain, Stephen King, so many people have self-published books, and, you know, you find special markets and all sorts of different things. So it's a very innovative way to get books out.
Well, it's all right. I'm never going to sell millions of copies. I mean, I'm not going to do, you know, 50 Shades of Grey or or that sort of crap.
No, exactly. Who'd want to?
No one can do that. But the fact is, in the end, I mean, it's just a hobby, and it's kind of rewarding to do in terms of emotionally.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, you know, if you sell a few, then you're quite pleased.
Well, absolutely. And, talking
and I get nice comments by people.
Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's lovely. It touches people's lives, which is so important, a good reason to write. I mean, if people do want to buy the books, I believe they can go to raybrooksbooks.com, which is great, and they can do that now. I mean, with so many stories, and you've enjoyed a career that's lasted, you know, four decades and more, and I suspect you're going to have hundreds more stories to tell people, so they're going to enjoy that when they come to your one-man show.
I did say to... on a radio programme for the Brighton show, I did say, "Look, you can come and sit in red plush seats on a Sunday night. There's a bar downstairs, Victorian bar, delightful, where you can wet your whistle, and you can see clips of my films, and I'll talk about Mr. Ben, I'll talk about my career, I'll talk about people, I'll chat, 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 and I think you'll have a more enjoyable evening than sitting in front of the television."
Yeah, live theatre. Yeah, live theatre is wonderful, isn't it? It's much more fun,
you know, it's much more fun seeing somebody wandering about, talking. And if you're engaging with them and they ask questions and you can answer questions, you can do anything you like. Show clips of films and television shows and show pictures of things. Me shaking hands with the Duke of Edinburgh and all that stuff. I mean, you've got all these things which I'll talk about. You know, I think in a way it's much more interesting than just putting your foot on a chair somewhere and sitting on a sofa and thinking, "Oh, this is boring old crap again on television."
Interaction is always great, isn't it? And the audience get to ask questions, and I believe they're going to get to meet and greet as well as part of the evening.
They can buy a book if they want to. They can buy my album if they want to. I've got an album, my songs which I sang
and
recorded.
Yes,
which was done years ago. You know, singer songwriters and all that.
Yeah. It sounds like it's got everything there. You know, you can buy the book and you can meet and greet and look at all the other things that you'll have available. And a part of the tour, you're going to be coming to the much-loved local venue here, Riverside Arts Centre in Walton-on-Thames, and that's going to be on May the 10th. Tell us, you've sort of mentioned what people can expect for the night. It would be plenty of stories, I'd imagine.
Oh, yes, plenty. Oh, yes.
That sounds wonderful.
Oh, plenty.
It sounds like you've got a lot stored up there, I think. It's going to be very entertaining, I think, and people, as I say, can meet and greet and get a copy of the new book, Lies. So it sounds like a very special night. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic success.
Are you coming along?
Yes, I hope to, definitely. It sounds full of fun, and hopefully yeah. Mr. Ben won't pop out of the changing rooms to say hello. But
you're going to have an episode of Mr. Ben, and I'm going to show a unique clip of a documentary that was done with me and Dave McKee. You've seen me in the studio recording. It's the Gladiator, the last one I did in 2004. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
And then sitting and talking to Dave, you know, just about what it was like and all that. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
I could tell them about how it started and what Dave had to do and the fibs he told, you know.
It's amazing what it takes to get something off the ground, and then it suddenly takes off beyond your wildest dreams, isn't it? It becomes completely iconic. Well, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely fantastic show. It's always great to see something live, and I'm sure you'll be absolutely engaging and lovely. And I wish you all the best with the tour and the new book.
Thank you very much, Suzanne.
And that was
God bless you. Thank you.
And that was my very special guest, Ray Brooks. And what a great guest Ray Brooks was. Lots of great stories and a super night was in store for you, full of magic, if you go along to his one-man show, As If By Magic, The Genius of Mr. Ben. Tickets are on sale right now, so be quick to book and enjoy that show, as well as a meet and greet with Ray himself. A really fantastic guy. It's www.riverhousebarn.co.uk. You can also get hold of a copy of the latest book, Lies, and Ray's previous books by going to www.raybrooksbooks.com. Thank you for listening very much, and enjoy this interview whenever you can by going to www.brooklandsradio.co.uk/worldofarts.html. It will be there forevermore. You can also hear it 24/7 on Mixcloud, www.mixcloud.com/Suzie Hunter Entertainment Show.
Suzanne Hunter, bringing you the world of arts and entertainment in Surrey and beyond on Brooklands Radio.